That's what I love to do, is get you in touch with your inner wisdom to help you make the positive changes in your life to live the kind of life you want to. And that's what our dreams are doing.
Hello and welcome to How I Made It Through. My name is Kristen Taylor, and I'm an executive and life coach. I'm continually awed and inspired by those who have walked through challenge and adversity, only to come out the other side more self-aware and more deeply purposeful in their commitment to wisdom, love, and compassion. Our lives are short, but they are not without meaning, and I believe we are more alike than we are different. My hope is that this show, through the sharing of ordinary people moving through extraordinary circumstances, opens minds and hearts by interviewing those who have a lot to say about why we are here and how to live more fully. We spend a lot of time in the show talking about the fact that everyone can be both more intuitive and psychic, as well as learn how to channel messages from those on the other side of the veil. Yes, some may be more naturally gifted or connected to this innate capacity than others, while some of us may simply be more committed to deepening this gift. It is with this in mind that I was thrilled to come across our guest today, Pamela Cummins. As a dream expert and spiritual growth coach, she enables clients to understand the meaning of their dreams, accelerating their personal and spiritual growth, and for some, connection to intuition and perhaps psychic capacity in the process. While we sleep, the conscious mind is quieted and the innate wisdom and creativity of our unconscious mind is set free, sending us messages and metaphors and even sometimes appearances from departed loved ones that we would be wise to pay more attention to. Pamela has committed herself to helping her clients decipher this language of messages and metaphor. She has authored 7 books and is the creator of 4 oracle decks. Such a pleasure to have you on the show, Pamela. Welcome to How I Made It Through.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I love this topic so much. As someone who is an avid dreamer, it's a space that I spend a lot of time thinking about, but I know there's so much like someone like you can share and teach us. So share what got you interested in this and how did this become your career?
Okay, I'll do it in a nutshell. I've always been a dreamer. I've always remembered my dreams, but I used to think that they didn't make much sense, okay, and they were nonsense. But like many of us, when, you know, heal thyself, when I started on my own personal and spiritual growth journey, and that was a long time ago, back in the late 80s, I had to work with my dreams because my dream life got really active. And what I found was that my dreams gave me so much information about myself. They brought back my psychic gifts. They gave me insights into the future, stuff I needed to work on. And I just had to share this with other people. And eventually it did come into my practice. And quite honestly, my practice at one point focused a lot on love and relationships. And it would, you know, we change and we grow. Well, I changed and I grew. And it was time to really bring out the dream interpretation into my practice because I love it. And I find it fascinating. I'm learning something new about myself and my clients. And I love when my clients get like a aha. But it's really important to take this dream information and put it into your everyday life. Like, how can these messages from your dreams help you in your life? And that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. You know, it feels like we spend so many hours of our lives asleep that it's this vital information that most of us just think it's random and weird. But what a great source of insight and information. I did not prepare you with this question. So if you're like, Kristen, come on, that was not fair. I am welcome to hear that feedback. But do you happen to remember a pivotal dream of your own that served as like, oh my gosh,
there
kind of woke you up?
Yeah,
no pun intended.
There are so many, okay, that it's kind of hard to choose from. Yeah. Okay. But the one that's coming to mind, so was a dream that I had, and it was actually a precognitive dream, but it was very symbolic. And it was letting me know that it was time to move on from New Jersey and to move to North Carolina. Okay. And it took quite some time because I went, like many things, we don't want to change. And I went into denial. You know, this was like 14 years. I've been in North Carolina almost 13 years. Excuse me. So it was like 14 years ago. And it became apparent that it was time for me. I could no longer afford doing the work that I love and living in New Jersey. And my sister lives down here. So it made sense. But that was a pivotal dream. But so many, I mean, dreams of the deceased. Some, you know, I'm one of those who get messages in my dreams before someone passes. So it kind of prepares me.
Wow.
Yeah. So
can you say more about that? You can't say that.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Just let that one go. Yeah.
Well, the one that was really amazing, okay, was with my mom. My mom passed a long time ago. And this was in the early 90s. I was working on a lot of my stuff and I was having a lot of nightmares. So in my dream, I was sleeping this way. I was on my side and someone pulled on my hair and I was terrified because I was afraid to look who it was. You know, it might be somebody really scary. But I finally looked, turned my head and I looked, and it was my mom. And no words were spoken. There was just this feeling of like beautiful, pure love. It's really hard to describe because I've never felt it in my waking life. I want to say it's like when people have near-death experiences, which I haven't had, but they say when they go over, words can't describe it. And it was beautiful. And again, I fell asleep. I woke up the next day and I was like, my mom's dead. I was but the thing was, she wasn't. Okay. She wasn't. And my sister called me a few days later. Do you want to go and visit mom? And we went and we visited my mom. And it was like, there was like this connection there. And I was like, and I won't go into the drama that I had with my mom, okay? But it was like I was at peace at the relationship we had. I was never going to have the kind of mom that I wanted, okay? But I was at peace and loved her for who she was. And a few days later, she passed. It was on Christmas Eve. And so I guess that was a really intense dream that I had.
Yeah. How was her health at that time? Were you anticipating that she would be passing soon, or
she had some lung issues, but not really. No, not really. No.
Wow.
But
wow.
I kind of think it was like, I like to call precognitive dreams a heads up dream, is giving me insight like, hey, you need to, you know, feel comfortable. And I would say anybody listening, anyone you have issues with, try and work them out to the best of your ability. Some people I realize you can't work them out, but at least work it out within yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. That's beautiful. I love that idea of it's almost like a prepare yourself and here's a gift and that will help to shepherd you through this time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So share a little bit about, you've already started, so I'm just following the flow of this conversation, your particular psychic abilities before we go more into understanding the dream landscape and the symbolism and so forth.
My psychic abilities, first of all, it took me a while to trust them. Okay. And for anyone out there, you know, write it down. When I did it, I used a pen and paper. You can use your phone these days. But if you get an insight flash, write it down. Okay. But for me, basically, I hear a lot. You know, and I hear, they used to call me the musical psychic because I'll get song lyrics, sometimes commercials, but I hear them. I feel. Okay. It took a while, quite honestly, to start getting visions, and that happened. Sometimes I smell things, like with my mom, for instance, like I'll smell things or I'll get a certain scent if, you know, I'm with a client. There's a knowing. It's kind of hard. You just know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the claircognizance. I hear clairaudience. I don't remember the name for the one that's about the olfactory sense.
Yeah. And clairvoyance. So it's a little bit of everything, but I would say my strongest is, you know, hearing and feeling.
Okay. Okay.
But the others come in.
The others came in. And so was that with you since childhood, or when did you start to?
I had them as a child, and quite honestly, with my dysfunctional family, who I've, you know, I have a close relationship now, but it wasn't safe back then because they didn't understand it. You know, they thought it was weird. So I shut them off early. It was actually my dreams that brought them back.
Well, let's go there. Let's go there. Where do you start in terms of teaching people about their dreams and the, I call it the language of dreams, but I don't know if that's the right nomenclature for that. But where do you start to help people to be in relationship to their dreams in a way that is illuminating and helps with their own development?
Okay. First of all, I have a book, The Secret, Learn the Secret Language of Dreams. So I do call it.
There you go.
Yeah, it is. And it is your own unique. Well, the first thing they have to do, obviously, is remember them. But usually people who come to me remember their dreams. Okay. You need to record them and write them down. I know it sounds simple, but I have to make sure they do that. And then we go into their dreams. And what I like to do is get them to interpret it with me there. Like, what do you think it is? You know, obviously, I have some people who come and they just say, interpret my dream. I don't want to learn. There's people like that. But I like to say, what do you think this means? What does this symbol mean to you? What does this remind you of? So let's say you're having a dream where like a dragon is trying to get you. Then I'll ask, who does this dragon remind you of? Does it remind you of a person? Is there something going on in your life right now? So maybe the dragon is you wanting to come out. Or the dragon could be related to somebody that you know that's holding you back, or it's your fear. So I like to look at it at all different angles. I'm giving you like a synopsis, and I hope I'm making sense.
You are. Okay. To me, you are. And what I like about that is because I put myself in your position to the extent that I can. If someone just said, interpret this dream, well, people have different relationships to symbols and metaphors and what that represents and the timeliness and the context of their life. And right, like it feels like for it really to be an enriching experience, they would need to play a dynamic part in the process, which then leads me to just say, great, I'm so glad you're opening those questions.
Right.
And I imagine even the inquiry of it is healing for them to even start to think about their life and question things.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, because when I do dream interpretation by email. So if I do that, I'm not just going to give you one meaning. I give you a bunch of different ones. It could mean this, it could mean that. But when, and even when they're interpreting their dreams and I like to say I'm guiding them through it because, you know, like with me, with the denial about moving to North Carolina, people are going to have denial. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. That's like a protection. So I gently will guide them. Like, could it be this? Like, could the dragon be like your husband or your wife, you know? Because people are going to be like, oh, no, it's that idiot who cut me off. And it's like, no, it's not the idiot who cut you off in traffic.
Okay. Okay. So can I share with you a snippet of a recent dream?
Oh, please.
And the reason is to bring this to life. And I'm sitting here listening and I'm trying to remember this dream. And I think you even said, write down a dream. And I totally forgot to write down the dream. So I think it was like night before last, I was going through, you know, dreams are so strange. Like I'm going through all of these steps and trials to get from where I was to where I needed to be, but I had a baby and I needed to make sure that I could feed the baby. And I had this bottle and there were all these obstacles around feeding this baby. And the baby wasn't crying. The baby didn't have much of a personality. The baby wasn't agitated, but I knew it was my responsibility. And I didn't even feel like I was the mother necessarily. Like I am a mother, so I know that feeling that is so strong of like, must keep this child healthy and safe and alive. It wasn't an urgency or a fear like that, but it felt like this responsibility of making sure this baby was fed and with me and cared for.
Okay. All right. And again, let's go, one of it, it could be your inner child, okay? Like you're not taking care of your inner child. I don't feel that it's your children, all right? But the first thing that came to mind is there's something new that you want to do. Okay. That's a, you know, because a baby is a birth, you need to take care of it. There's something you knew you want to do. You want to feed it. You want to take care of it. You want to bring it. It could be a project or whatever, but you don't really have the time to do it. That may, exactly, does that make right. sense to you?
That is wild. So, okay. So I am working on one day and I'm in a group with someone who has done this. I have a coach and it's a TED Talk. And so I feel like I don't have enough time to write, and there's all these assignments he's giving, and it feels like something really important to me that, and I'm also writing a book. So there's both of these projects that are ongoing that I'm building. It's funny, I said the TED Talk first, but it's really the book.
Okay.
It's really the book that I've been working on for about 8 months, and it's taking a really long time, and it's beautiful and lovely and challenging, but that's exactly right. So I want to ask you, when you were doing that, to what extent did you even tune into your own clairvoyance right there?
I think, honestly, I think it happens kind of naturally. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like there's the therapeutic part of me is always like inner child, your male and your female side, because dreams do come like that. But it just kind of like intuitively, I just felt like, oh, it's probably a new project. And just your actions in the dream, okay? Because you could have a dream where, let's say, like if your emotions were different, where like, take that bottle, damn it. Excuse my language.
No, this is a place to swear.
You know, walk towards your tent and you're yeah. getting angry. It's not something you want to do. It's not something that you care about. But the thing is, yeah. like you want to do the feeling you had, like you want to do this, but it's not like dire need. So it's,
yeah.
that's why, and baby, of course, is new beginnings. I mean, that symbolically, yeah. you could say that. But it was also, I think my inner feeling was like, even though you said you had children, okay, mm-hmm, it wasn't about mm-hmm. your child. Because yeah. if it was about your own child, okay, yeah, it, yeah. exactly. It's the feeling.
I would have a lot of feeling.
You'd have, even if your child is like, 30, and I'm sure it's not, mm-hmm. but you know, if somebody was,
it is oh, one okay. of them.
You're yeah. much younger. Yeah, yeah. But you know, you can still have a, you know, dream about when your child was a baby. There's a different feeling.
Yeah,
and it's
a totally different feeling. Yeah. Yes,
and it's just kind of like a knack. Like some people might, you know, a great musician, and they might have never studied it. It's just a natural feeling.
That was really good. I loved that. Yeah. I just, because it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to actually see you in your element doing what you do.
And
so thank you.
You're welcome. And I also want to say that if I was like sitting like at my desk, I could probably come up with more meanings for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mm-hmm. doing it in the moment is different. And sometimes doing it in the moment is better. But it's also you. You need to like, often I say you are your best dream interpreter. Like you'll mm-hmm. know, like that feels right. Like how you thought, well, it could be this project. No, it's the book. There's just yeah. a knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's so empowering to the person. I will say that was empowering to me to continue to think through my dream and my life experience at this moment in time. So I have another question. I've shared on the show that I'm a caregiver for my mother who has dementia, and she really struggles with bad dreams, which is not uncommon for people with Alzheimer's. You know, she called 2 weeks ago. I was about to go into a meeting that I had to be at, and she was felt terrible for her. She was frantic. I can't get out of this dream. I just woke up and I had to call you. Every time I close my eyes, I go back and it's a nightmare and it's a nightmare. And this is not uncommon. Please come over. Help me. Help me. She has dreams. Is it okay if I share some of her recent dreams?
As long as she doesn't mind.
Yeah, yeah. I even told her that I would be okay. meeting with you and kind of, yeah.
Right.
So there's always a theme of, I won't say always, the most recent one was she was at a friend's house and children are in peril and there was a bear. And she couldn't save the children. She's continually in her dreams. And I feel like this kind of goes back to the whole baby thing, children thing. She's trying to save vulnerable, innocent children. Another dream she had where she was on a fire truck racing through town trying to get to children who were in trouble, but the children on the fire truck were falling off. And I know she's not here, so it makes it very, very different. But just what comes up for you?
Well, for the first trip, you know, trying to save the children and there's a bear there. What I got was it's her own inner child. It's her own kind of youth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause she's getting older. And it's also a bear a lot of times is about power. So she's kind of feeling that she's not in power anymore. Okay. Like she's not innocent. She can't save herself. Am I making sense?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. So,
you know, and also with Alzheimer's, she could be going back to her youth. Okay. This is something else to think, where she felt powerless, where she wanted someone to save her too. Okay. And being on the fire truck and being in an emergency, again, that feels like children falling off. That feels like pieces of herself falling off.
Okay. That's really helpful. Yeah, when I have conversations with her, I'm often saying this is always about you. Every part of it is about you. Is that what I hear you saying too?
Yeah, a lot of dreams are. And in her case, I feel that they are about her. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you can do to help her, and this is something I learned, you know, because nobody likes nightmares. Okay. But they are a gift because they alert us to what's going on. So what your mom can do when she wakes up, okay, and she feels like she's going back into the dream. And I got an image of like a woman, like Superwoman. So she can either become Superwoman or have like Superwoman come in and save the children. Okay.
So that's like lucid dreaming, right? To the extent that you can. Is that the same or different?
But it's more meditation. Because you're not actually dreaming, okay? Mm-hmm. What she can do is she can sit down and say, okay, this was really scary for me. All right, let me go back into the dream. Okay, but she's still there. So I'm just closing my eyes because it's easier. So she goes back in the dream and she's like, okay, when this part happened, let me see Superwoman fly in and put the child back.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's in her mind, she's reworking the dream. Lucid dreaming is when you're actually dreaming and you change when you're dreaming.
Well, I've done that.
Okay.
That is something I actually do. I don't know if I'd say frequently, but I can't begin to count the amount of times that I've been able to do that in dreams. I'm aware that I'm dreaming while in the dream and I can change circumstances. And for my mom, she actually kept falling back asleep and she'd be right back in the dream and she was having a hard time staying awake.
What she might do instead of falling right back to sleep is actually, you know, not falling asleep, but like visualizing that she's in the dream and she's changing.
Okay.
Okay. So it's different because you're not actually dreaming. You're more in a meditative state changing the story.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It's going to be helpful for me because I am her main source of emotional support when these things happen. And again, she's a recurrent theme with her nightmares like this. So that's really helpful. So one of your books, The Language, say the name of it and maybe you can
share
a little bit about the language.
Learn the Secret Language of Dreams.
Learning the Secret Language of Dreams. Pamela Cummins.
Right.
Check it out, people. Okay. Share a little bit about The Secret Language of Dreams.
Okay. With this, and I published this back in 2016. So it's funny because I'm a better writer today and I'm like, oh, I wish I had written this, but you know, that's where I was. I know.
We're all works in progress.
I know.
I totally feel you on that.
But what I did is, for me, I find that, yes, you need to learn your symbolism and stuff, but I find dream categories very helpful. And so basically what I did in that is I wrote about solution dreams, okay, environment dreams, which are basically, you know, if you're dreaming, Mother Nature's calling and you answer them. Relationship dreams, because relationships are important. Dreams, precognitive dreams, dreams of the future, dreams of the deceased. So different categories to help you understand that. So, for instance, your mom, actually, that would be considered a nightmare dream, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your dream about feeding the baby is kind of more like okay, this is what's going on in your life, but it's giving you a solution. Do you understand? Like, it's time to take care of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. The dream mm-hmm. I had with my mom, okay, before she passed away, was a precognitive dream, but in a sense, it was not dreams of the deceased, but it was a visitation dream. I want to say it was her soul visiting soul. Me. Okay. Yeah. 'Cause her soul knew she was going. Okay.
Right.
So they help you kind of understand, you know, PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, if something happened in your life, brings you to the past. But sometimes your past will come into your dreams, especially yeah. if it's a similar situation. For instance, if you're in a relationship and it's the person is starting to be verbally abusive to you, okay, but somebody's in denial about it, they might go and dream about their ex who's being yeah. verbally abusive to them, because it's easier to dream about their ex than it is, you know, your current partner.
Gosh, it's funny, and I don't want to make this all about me, but I'm thinking about all of my dreams. So when my husband and I were having a particularly difficult time over a decade ago, I was having dreams about this one ex-fiance that I had, where the relationship went terribly wrong. And he was, everywhere he walked, he would start a fire. Hmm. It was like he was the fire. I don't mean fireman in the way that someone extinguishes the flame, but he would step and it was like fire would just like go underneath him, right? And I was trying to put out the fire and telling him to go away and go away. And I kept thinking it was about Jeff. But it could have been that I was dealing with fires in my current relationship, is right. what I hear you saying.
Exactly, because it reminded you of something. Not to say, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously your current relationship is better than it was with your ex, but there was something in it that reminded you of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. when people have dreams of being cheated on, because this is that's a really upsetting dream, you know,
yep.
having a dream Extremely. Of being cheated on. It might yeah. not be that your partner's cheating on you, all right? You could have felt somebody else cheated you in some aspect, or you might not be feeling satisfied with relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it might be mm-hmm. your desire to, you know, cheat. Or if you want to look at the male and female within, you're not giving your inner male a chance to come out. You're cheating your inner male. Okay.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So that's what I'm one dream. That's what I try and tell people. One symbol, one dream can have many, many, many meanings. Okay. Depending on the person. You know?
Yeah. And that's where I think the self-awareness comes in. I mean, right. like when you were sharing with me and I was like, oh, it's the TED Talk. No, it's the book. Like, because I think the temptation or the proclivity is just to think, oh, here's the, like, he's going to cheat on me.
Right.
Right. I'm intuiting that he's going to cheat on me. Well, that could be, it could be precognitive, but it also could be, like you just said, you're not honoring the masculine. Or whatever. I mean, there's just so many different ways to look
right,
at that.
Right, exactly.
I'm hearing you say it's in the process of the discovery when the intuition says, that's it. When you just have that knowing in the way that I did.
Right, exactly. And that's what I, you know, hope people look at. But they also need to say, am I denying something? You know? And that's always hard.
Hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. But it's that place when we're sleeping where the unconscious mind is not concerned with what's hard and what's not. It's like, we're going to pay attention. We're going to get into the dirt, into the depths.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Any particular themes you see that you're like, wow, this keeps coming up for people, or anything that's been interesting that way?
Can I share one of my own dreams? Because it was pretty interesting. I actually just shared it. And you know, a lot of people want to know about dreams of the future, precognitive dreams. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I hear. Could this be a precognitive dream? All right. And it's funny because I'm getting this other client's dream, but I don't feel comfortable sharing it. Okay.
Yeah.
But with her, she kept on having dreams of like family. Okay. But she's also thinking of opening up like a center for the elder. So I think that's interesting. And a lot of hers was feelings, okay, But it was also, you know, what she wants to do. But I also felt it was precognate. That's what I kept on getting. This is your future. Now you have to take the steps and do it. Okay. Mm. But with the elderly parents, because with your mom, my dad's older, and I had this strange dream about him. Okay. And I had this dream where I used to do massage therapy many, many moons ago. And I had this dream where I was massaging his upper body. Okay. I went along his back and I went along his neck. But what was really odd about the dream was the other half of his body was in a bird cage, like this huge bird cage, which was kind of strange, right? And then in the next part, I had my parakeet, Pedro, was on the floor and he was out of his cage. And I was worried about him because there were two cats, and it wasn't my cats. It wasn't my dad's cat, but there were two cats. I was afraid they were going to get him. So I quickly grabbed them, and I put him in his cage. And I woke up and I'm like, what the heck was that about? Okay. Well, that same day, my dad, who has fallen twice, fell. And he called me, thank God he has Siri, one of those home devices. And he's like, Siri, call Pamela Cummins. And he called me. And I had to call his apartment building, and they called 911. So in a sense, that's what I was taking care of. Like, I was making sure of that. But it also represented that his legs aren't working like they used to. I mean, he's 87 years old. All right. Me feeling relieved that he's back in his cage. All right. But what's really interesting was with the cat, and him being in there too, because again, his legs aren't working. So that's symbolic for that, his upper half. He had two CAT scans. So the two cats were actually CAT scans.
Okay.
Okay.
And if I were going to take that further, let me ask you, in the dream, so Pedro's walking around and you're feeling like he's vulnerable to these two cats. Would that potentially translate to the information of these CAT scans could show that there's illness, right? Disease, right?
Right. But thankfully, nothing came up.
Thankfully. Okay. Good.
Thankfully.
Good.
But yeah, so I find like people that, and the other thing people, my clients want to know a lot about is like dreams of the deceased. Was this a real, did my mom, did my sister, did they actually visit me?
Yeah. Say more.
Okay, with that.
please.
Well, one of the biggest signs that they actually visit you was it feels like a visit. Like when my mom came, no words were spoken. It's real simple. You might be sitting at a kitchen table. You might be going for a walk. You might have a few words. You might hug each other. It's real simple. There are words. Mm-hmm. There's not words. It could be telepathic. Some people have that. With my mom, it was just love. So it's that. Okay. And again, they're short. Sometimes you, okay. Now, when it's more like an issue dream, you know, that's when you have long conversations. It could be like a past experience that you had. There's a lot of turmoil, a lot of anger, sadness, rage, whatever comes up. Where with the shorter one, you might have some sadness because they're gone, but there's also a feeling of love and connection. And I'm happy to see you. I'm glad that you're doing okay. So, those are just some, you know, basics that you can look at.
Well, again, to bring it back to my dream life, I have exactly this experience. So my dearest of dear friends died in 2018. And I've had so many dreams about her. And I've had one where I felt like she visited. The so many dreams about her are long. They're drawn out. She's dying, or she's already died. She's come back to life and she's living in a cave, or she's wearing the same clothes. And they're just really long and anguishing and drawn out. And there's just a lot that is talking about, you know, the talking about that is illuminating this grief process of losing her, like slowly losing her and watching her decay and feeling just such grief about losing someone. But then I had a dream where I was actually moving through just a dream, and suddenly she was there, but for a moment. Mm-hmm. And when she was on this planet, she was really, really funny. And she would always talk about she was the court jester, you know, mm-hmm. She was just silly. And so in this dream of like, I was trying to get somewhere, it was just, you know, convoluted and dreamlike and nonsensical, right? Moving through this process, and suddenly she is there. And she stops me and she hands me the Joker card. Mm. And suddenly I'm laughing like I felt her. And I laughed like how she would make me laugh. And then she was gone.
Right. Right. It's real simple. And I want to say, because some people might wonder, could my animals visit you? Absolutely. And you might have a dream where they're like next to you in bed, or they bark, or they meow, or they just rub up against you, okay? Or if it's a bird, they're tweeting, you know? So, but you know it's them, their energy. You know the energy, you know?
Yeah, like with this one, it was my friend's energy. I just knew it was her.
Right.
Yeah. And it felt good. She wouldn't come and like have this torturous dream about her face melting like all these other dreams I'd had. It was light and loving in the way that she was light and loving.
Right. Right.
Ah, so good. It's so good. All right. So as people are beginning to start writing their dreams, and, you know, for those in the audience, so to speak, our listeners, they want to start to take their dreams more seriously as a route to their spiritual evolution, spiritual growth, spiritual development. You talked a little bit about the different categories of dreams. What else should they be thinking about or paying attention to? What do you recommend?
Well, the feelings, as I mentioned earlier, feelings are so, what are your feelings in this dream? Okay. Is it feelings that you had in the past that you haven't dealt with? You know, is it feelings that you're having now? Okay. Cause that's going to change the thing. The other thing is to see if there's like recurring stuff that happens. Okay. Like you mentioned with your friend, you had a lot of recurring dreams because that was a way of helping you to go through your grief. Okay. Mm-hmm. So see if there's a recurring, for instance, if you're always dreaming about moving, doesn't mean you're going to physically move. Okay. Mm-hmm. But where do you want to go forward? Okay. I'm sorry. My mind just went blank.
Well, let me help you here.
Okay.
My mind goes blank all the time, so no judgment there. Let me rescue you. So I often, and I've shared this on the show, like I'm 53 right now, but when I was 30, I had a panic attack on a bridge.
Okay.
Since that time, 23 years, I have recurring dreams about, and I'm from the Bay Area, trying to get across the Golden Gate Bridge, and either the car is out of control or I have to go like subterranean under the water. It's always an epic adventure, but I need to get from Marin County to San Francisco, and I'm terrified. How am I going to get over this bridge?
Okay. So that is a recurring theme. I mean, can you go on bridges right now?
Not driving, no.
Okay, not driving. Okay. So mm-hmm. So obviously that is something to help you go through that. But I also want you to look at, is there something in your life that you're not moving forward with and that you have to kind of cross that bridge?
It's such, I mean, but what a more obvious metaphor than a bridge.
Right.
Exactly. From where I am now to where I need to be to heal or to move forward.
Right. You know, yeah. So obviously, you know, that to me is like, you need a solution with this. Like, how can you get through this? And that's why it's recurring, because recurring dreams usually are like, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You're ignoring this. You're ignoring this. So we're going to bring this to you while you're sleeping. You need to deal with it. You need to deal with it, you know, you know, and maybe just to learn how to deal with a panic attack. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have someone hold your hand while you go through it. Can you go over the bridge when someone else is driving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But what I, I'm getting from what you're saying too is this could even be the lucid dreaming or the encouraging in my waking hours solution that in the dream could help to find a way through to have like a corrective experience in the dream
right.
of crossing the bridge because someone held my hand or, you know, that the car was
right. Or you could
whatever
you could,
I needed.
You could visualize your girlfriend with you or,
yeah.
you know, Archangel Michael with you or somebody with that. So yeah, that's something that you can do is visualizing it.
I really appreciate that. Yeah.
That. Again, one of my slogan is nighttime messages, daytime wisdom. Okay. So you're getting this message. All right. How are you going to use it in your daytime? Okay. So that's the beauty of like recording your dreams. All right. Whatever method you want is because you can refer back and say, I had this symbol a lot. Oh, I'm having like the similar dreams, whether it's like, you know, going to a store and not finding what you want, or that a lot of people have like going to school and not finding your classroom, or you finding out that you didn't study and you haven't graduated.
I have that one a lot where I'm back in high school, but I'm the age that I am now, but I forget that I'm the age that I'm now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am not graduating from high school.
Yeah.
And then eventually in the dream, I'll go, wait a second, I have a college degree, I have a master's degree, I have a business. Like, it's so reassuring. But in the dream, it's absolute, oh my gosh, what am I going to do to take care of myself? How did I let this happen?
Right. And basically, it's high school. It's like, we all have that horrible insecurity, you know? And like this one woman, such wisdom. She's like, you know, we were all so insecure in high school. And we thought everybody was thinking about us, but really they were all insecure and they didn't care about us. But
they're so concerned with themselves.
Yeah. It's like going back, healing something that happened back then. Okay. Because there is no time when it comes to our dreams. Or it could be something that we need to learn now that we haven't been able to figure out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another way to look at it too is our insecurity in us that we're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's the whole imposter syndrome
stuff.
Yeah, so good. What have I not asked you that you're like, yeah, we really should talk about this, or this is so fascinating, or this is something that I spend a lot of time with people that I have yet to ask you?
Okay, so what should you ask me? Now I feel like I'm being put on the spot.
I'm totally putting you on the spot, and you can say, stop putting you on the spot. Ask me a question.
No, that's okay. I'm just triggering. Why do I love to do what I do?
Ooh, I love that. Okay. Great question. Right? You should have a podcast.
Yeah. Why do you love to do what I do? Because it makes me feel good. It feels like I'm helping people. I'm helping them grow. You know, we're going back to the heal or heal thyself, and it's healed my life so much that I want to help other people's heal, okay? Mm-hmm. And also to realize, like, and not just their dream messages, but their messages they get during the day that they poo-poo, it's really important to listen to that. That's your inner wisdom. And that's what I love to do, is get you in touch with your inner wisdom to help you make the positive changes in your life to live the kind of life you want to. And that's what our dreams are doing. Okay. So for instance, your dream about the bridge. Okay. Cause that's a common, you know, a close friend of mine used to have dreams about bridge, and we lost touch many years ago. But basically, they want you to conquer that fear. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially since you're living, you know, it's one thing if you know, a bridge is 1,000 miles away, but it's close to you. So you can go about your business. And come.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm no longer in the Bay Area, but it is an obstacle in my life.
Right.
And I, so much of the healing direction I want to take is to get back on those bridges and just be who I was prior to that panic attack.
Right.
Right. It was a traumatic event. And I know that my subconscious mind, my guides, my counsel are urging me towards that healing. And perhaps it was even a soul's contract. I mean, it's what's interesting. I've shared this on the show before, but I had a psychic reading, and the clairvoyant said, you know, your past life, you died in one of the most famous bridge collapses in U.S. history. And I think 1967 in a bridge called the Silver Bridge between West Virginia and Ohio. And she said, that was your past life. You died on a bridge.
Okay. And yeah, and that's one of the things I was thinking of. It could be from a past life. So you need to, they want you to deal with it in this lifetime. Okay.
That's exactly
right.
So it
could be as simple as, you know, visualizing yourself going over the bridge, you driving, going over, or even walking, going over the bridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody with you. And you can also ask for solutions in your dreams.
I really am resonating with that. So asking for solutions in my dreams, in our dreams, we're talking about me as a way to exemplify this. But so is that something you do as you lie down in bed? Like, I'm about to go to bed and I know that I have this issue with bridges. Please help me find a solution. Or is it more the lucid dreaming or both? What does that mean?
I would say with the lucid dreaming, I would say to kind of just let it come to you. Okay. But if you're more comfortable doing lucid dreaming, where you can actually say, okay, I'm at the bridge now. What do I need to do now? Okay.
Yeah.
But the way I, this is how I do it. I'll be like, I call God, Goddess. I have so many names for my higher source. I'm like, could you please give me a solution dream on how to deal with this client, you know, whatever problem I'm having, you know, how to talk to my honey about something, you know, could you please give me a solution dream? You can write it. Some people might feel more comfortable writing it. Some people might want to say it out loud or just visualizing them having it. I just pray. I just ask for it. That's how I'm comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And you might have it that night. It might take a few nights later for it to happen. Or sometimes just by putting it out there, an answer will come. You could be on the internet and boom, something pops up. You could be watching a TV show, overhearing a conversation. I personally prefer it in my dreams, but it does. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, you have to trust the wisdom of the universe of how it's going to come.
The wisdom of the universe is so important because all these messages are continually reaching out to us, especially if we are asking and paying attention. And speaking of bridges, it feels like the bridge between what we're moving through and all of these sources of insight and support, whether it's dreams, whether it's signs, whether it's symbols, whether it's the breadcrumbs or the nudges, they're all around us. But it's what I'm getting from you, Pamela, is it's being in conscious, intentional relationship to access all of that.
Right.
Love that so much.
And that's, and you know, what you said, intention, that's the most important thing. So when I, or you ask, or somebody listening to it asks, please give me a solution in my dream, you're having that intention to work through this issue. Okay. And it's not going to, you know, there's some things, yeah, maybe how to have a conversation with someone that, but there's a lot of things like with the bridge. Okay, it could come instantly. It might take a little while for you to work on that issue. There's some issues that take us longer. And I want to say, honor how long it takes you to work through it.
Thank you. That feels really nice to receive. Thank you. What an amazing job. I mean, I say job, it's a career, it's a calling that you, and I'm always inspired by people who take who they are, take what really enlivens them and their connection to their own, what I would consider a soul journey, and says, I'm not going to go the conventional route. I will find a way to share my gift and have my own livelihood.
Right.
That, to me, as a fellow entrepreneur, is really, really inspirational. Go ahead.
Well, you can do if I could get a dollar for every somebody who's going to spams me my inbox of doing it this way, and you need to do your business this way. I need to listen to my inner wisdom and go, because if I do it the way other people, and I've made that mistake, it doesn't work. I have to do what feels right for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Whether that brings me, $500 a month or $5 million a month. I have to do it what's right for me. Of course, I need to earn a living, but I'm doing what I love. And that's what's important.
That's what's important. Exactly. So you have already shared a lot of gifts, and I know that you are a gift and people could really use your consult and your support.
I'm blushing, but thank you for that.
And she has a lot of humility. How do people contact you?
The best way is through my website, Pamela, and the last name. Oh, it's right there. C-U-M-M-I-N-S. Okay. That's the best way. I'm also on LinkedIn and Pinterest. Basically, those are where I'm mostly at.
That's where I found you. Yeah. That's where I found you.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure to have you. This was really, really interesting and riveting. And thank you for your time.
Well, and thank you. You are really good at interviewing. I felt very comfortable and it was fun. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for saying that. What a fun conversation. I loved learning about dreams and what they mean. And thank you so much for indulging me, Pamela, with my own dreams. I learned a lot and I'm sure the audience will as well. Thanks for being on How I Made It Through. If you are enjoying these podcasts, I ask that you share them or write a review. We need your help in getting these important messages out there. If you are looking to increase your own wellness, reduce your anxiety, self-doubt, or deepen your own personal or spiritual awareness, these are the areas I specialize in as a coach and would love to explore working with you. Please reach out to me at coachkristentaylor@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on How I Made It Through.
How I Made It Through is produced and distributed by EIQ Media, LLC. Elevate your emotional IQ with podcasts and content focused on overcoming adversity, leadership, mental health, entrepreneurship, spiritually transformative experiences, and more.